it's a bike, bro. Like, it's one class. Nobody cares. It escalated so fast and I had already lied. So like, it was too late for me to go back and be like, well, so actually it was, now that the law is getting involved, it actually was me. So I just like doubled the fuck down.
She said, what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MF-er.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior,
a morally questionable podcast
where two unqualified friends,
two unhinged comedians,
determine once and for all what is good
and what is bad.
Hello, and welcome to Bad Behavior. I'm Blair Payton.
And I'm Sterling Mulberry. In each episode of the podcast, a guest shares a morally questionable story, and we decide if they were in the right or the wrong.
Well, Sterling, you want to hear what's right?
What?
I got a brand new rug.
Amazing.
I know. It's such exciting news to start the show with.
Is it made everything different in the home?
Honestly, it has, because the rug I had before is when I first moved in 3 years ago, and I never really thought of my apartment as a high traffic area, but it got worn so much that, you know, like when a rug starts getting just like, you can just see how gross it is, and it's just, it's lost its zest for life.
Sure.
So I was like, it's time to put this thing out to pasture, get a new rug.
You shot it out back.
Yeah, it's
just so much is going on for you.
Thank you. Thank you. What about you?
I'm good. I'm good. This is the last episode we're going to be recording. Well, I'm in my 20s. Well, good long pause.
Okay, I was like trying to figure out where this was going.
No, I turned 30 in T-minus 4 days, so that's kind of interesting. Mark your cows, you
guys.
Are
you the 16th?
I'm the 15th, baby.
Well, then that's not 4 days. Your math is terrible.
3 days?
That's 3 days from this recording.
I guess I kind of still feel like I'm in California right now, so I have still.
Well, here's
the
thing. Your
left.
Brain's a little shook because you just had an earthquake.
I had a huge earthquake, and boy, it was so scary. Yeah, that was bad. Anyways, so I turned 30 this week, and I don't know if this has happened to anybody else when you have kind of a monumental birthday coming, but you can get a little emotional.
Yeah.
And I can't say the last week has been maybe the best week of my life. It's okay. But I was out to dinner for a friend's birthday Friday night. I was not doing well mentally, okay? I knew I was like, it's a get in, get out kind of scenario. 30 minutes in, they're like, okay, so what's new with you, Sterling? I immediately abruptly start sobbing.
Sterling? You really ruined her birthday.
I'm so sorry.
Did everything turn around, or were you just like, okay, well, everything's terrible. I'll see you guys later.
No, I mean, our food hadn't even come yet, so I had to stick to that.
Oh, damn. Yeah. So you had to be like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Oh, man.
But I did not go dancing. I said, I'm going to take myself home because I'm scared if I cry on the dance floor, I could be the biggest wet noodle.
Well, here's the thing. It was the Heaven's Gate portal. No. Is that what it's called? Lion's Gate. It was the Lion's Gate portal. So maybe your body was like subconsciously trying to remove all those emotions to allow happier emotions to fill up your craw.
Fill on it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of such a nightmare to turn 30. I don't know how anyone does it. Obviously, it's such a blessing. What is your guidance for me coming into this new decade? What should I be doing this week, do you think, to set me off on the right path?
I would say go get a massage.
Really?
I would get a massage.
I
love a good massage.
Okay, this is also going to be tragic. I'm sorry, I'm being like the saddest girl alive. I've only gotten one massage in my whole life during another tumultuous time. And I was crying so much, but like through the hole in the massage bench.
Okay, I feel like anything I'm going to suggest, it's going to turn sad.
I actually am in an amazing mood today. I'm a little shaken because of the big earthquake that just occurred only 10 miles from my house. And
well, you know what? I'm going to say this.
Maybe it shook something like Freaky Friday. Maybe now my life's going to turn amazing.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Mother Nature was like, you know what? She's had it hard for a little bit. Let me shake it up a little bit. So she shook the earth and she reset the energy.
Oh my God. I wonder who do you think I'm going to Freaky Friday with?
Anne Hathaway. I think you're going to freaky with her.
Oh my God. You think I'm going to Freaky Friday with Anne Hathaway?
But I wonder if that means I would still be doing the podcast now with her, but she's crying all the time.
And I hate to be like this, she's even older than me. So then I'd be probably having a mental beat because I'd be even older than 30.
Yeah, but you'd be in a different pay scale. So you'd probably be happier. You'd probably let that slide.
Because you know what we always say on this podcast? Money buys, stay with me, happiness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what we always say. So that's right. It's just like, can you imagine if you Freaky Friday'd with somebody, but then they're married and have a kid, and that's just like, you'd hope that you could fall in love with their significant other, you know? That's so risky.
I feel like all of that's a risk because, like, inevitably you will Freaky Friday back.
Also, have to act in drama. Not good. I would be bad. I would, like, really ruin her reputation as an actress. Imagine me doing Les Mis, please.
Well, you wouldn't have to because it had already been done. What is the parameters for your Freaky Friday? Because they're all over the map.
Okay. We have a dear friend of mine on the podcast today. I've known her since my UCB days, if you can even believe that. She's a comedian in New York. Please welcome our guest today, Louisa Lang.
Well, well, well. We finally got you.
Finally nailed her down.
Thank you for gracing us with your presence.
I mean, listen, it took a lot to get me here, but no, I'm kidding. I just, for anyone listening, I canceled last minute yesterday, and I've canceled before on you guys too. I think
that is fine, and one that makes you kind of elusive and cool.
But also, it will factor into our decision.
Right, but it makes me a little mysterious.
You just need to be prepared for that, you know? We're going to be deeming you maybe a little harsher.
Maybe bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. So, Louisa, how are you? How's it going? Kind of for listeners, we've known each other since what? The year 2016, 2017. I can't recall. But we met in a famous UCB class.
Yes. So we practiced the art of improv, you could say, together. You were so good at it. I remember that. Mm. And I was so
I don't know about that. I bad. Can't say I was that good.
Okay. Well, you know what? You were better than me. And I was, that's like one of my favorite stories to tell people. They're like, oh, how'd you get into comedy? I'm like, well, I like knew I was funny. And I was like, let me try improv. And I was so fucking bad. Dude, I was so bad at it. It's not in the sense that like you would remember because it's like everyone's just
I don't
like, thinking
remember
about
you
themselves.
Being bad.
But I wasn't good at it.
You guys, it sounds like you're both being very humble with your improv skills. Maybe we should just test it real quick now.
Do a quick herald right here. No, I couldn't even like understand the process. But then I tried stand up and I was like, okay, this makes sense. This is like what I'm comfortable with, what I'm good at. Like, but yeah, my improv days were short lived and pretty dark, but met some very cool people though.
What was the feedback you would get? Were they like real harsh with you?
No, I just knew I was bad. No one ever told me I was bad or ever like would avoid being my partner or anything. I just, you know, when like, you know, you're funny, but it's not like here.
It's not here in the room with us.
It's not like, was the funny in the room with us? Like it's like, you know, when you have a social interaction with someone and it's just like awkward and weird and you leave and you're like, what? That like wasn't my best.
I feel like sometimes that's on the other person. It's the environment they create. Because
partially,
sometimes
yes.
You can be in a good mood, funny banter, but if they are giving nothing back, it's hard to ever be funny in that circumstance.
Which is why I didn't love improv, because you're relying so much on the other person to set you up to do something. They're like, why are you acting like Rihanna? And I would be like, come on. Like, really? Like, I have to say yes. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, you have to then kind of start singing.
One time I was in an improv scene in my 401. And I was doing a scene, I don't know what it was, but one of the guys behind me, he stuck his whole arm through my legs and made it look like an erection.
I'm like not even shocked. Like it's just...
Yeah.
I actually have chills on my arms, like at just... Ugh.
Okay, so here we are, and where are you? Are you zooming in from New York City or another location?
I'm zooming in from Cape Cod. I'm here with my parents.
Amazing.
Having the time of my life. I'm so relaxed. I am working remote. I really, though, feel stressed when I'm not in New York because I'm not doing any stand-up. But at the same time, I do love that feeling of doing whatever I want and just like going to bed at 9.
Now, are you going to try and find some like stand-up locations in Cape Cod to just like...
No, people always ask me that. And I'm like, when I'm here, I'm not interested. I should. I really should. This is why I'll never be successful, because I'm like lazy.
No, I feel like you are hitting the talent in a way that I'm astounded by. Like, I am like, she is hustling and working so hard. So you should go on vacation.
Thank you for saying that.
I know a plethora of stand-ups who, when like, if I go out to eat with them and we're just, you know, having a good time and then the waitress comes, sometimes they'll be a little performative with the waitress.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't do it, but I feel that hanging out with stand-ups can be a little stressful because you're like, can we not, like, can we just, like, be people for a second? Like, we don't need to compete for, like, do you hear what I said to the waiter? Like, oh, like, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't want to do that. I'm tired. I think the through line of my story here is I'm tired.
You know? Literally, like, of course. Okay, well, one, I have one announcement to make to you guys. I told Blair before we started recording, one, I found a hack that I found last night and I feel like I have to alert you guys to. But then two, I have kind of a question piggybacking on my hack I found. Okay, one, if you feel, okay.
I followed one, most of that.
I did follow. I'm on.
Okay,
I'm here.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, so I live in the city of Los Angeles. I'm unfortunately always scrolling TikTok, seeing little hacks. And I don't know if you've seen this, and I don't even know if you're single, but if you have single friends, a new hack has just hit the scene for love, and it is this. Okay.
New hack just dropped.
Okay. You change age range preferences to 75 to 85, but then you say, not a deal breaker.
Okay. Okay.
Because I had a strict age range and I said deal breaker if it was outside.
Me too.
Of
that's
that.
What I do. Yeah.
It messes up the algorithm. All of a sudden, because it like calibrates your age range really high, of like, oh, I guess like now in your rose jail would be like 70 year olds. You then get all of the hot guys that they've been keeping from you.
Okay.
Try this one. It honestly worked, I would say 1,000.
Are you bragging because you have like 13 new loves right now?
Oh yeah, gosh, I'm so jealous.
But here's my kind of question to piggyback, Luisa, yes. Off of whatever dating Hinge hacks, try it out, let me know, text me how it goes.
Okay. I'm going to, yeah.
How do you navigate in the waters of being able to be seen? Maybe if somebody is stalking you to research you before a date, are you kind of coming into contact with like how, I don't know, I get very like embarrassed and I'm like, just please don't watch my Instagram reels.
Well, I go back and forth where I'm like, okay, let's try a phase where I don't tell them I do stand up and like I don't let them find me. Like I'm just going to let them think that I'm just like a girl about town working in marketing, like I'm so like whatever, nothing to see here. And then eventually you have to tell them anyways. So they're going to find out, you know? So I do feel like in some ways it's better to just get it out of the way and like have them look before, and if they're not into it, they're not gonna be. Do you know what I mean?
Have you had a situation where you had to tell someone you were a stand-up?
No, it's like I sometimes will. I act like I'm telling them I like have a child, and they're like, "Okay, what?" I'm like, "I just like have to tell you something. There's something about me you don't know." They're like, "Okay, like you do stand-up. Like what the fuck are you talking about?" So I think that I make it more of a big deal than it really is. I genuinely think that a lot of guys don't want to date a female comedian. Or like, I don't know, I think it's like intimidating and weird. And famously, Nikki Glaser says the same thing. She told me this once, that she's like, I am 40 years old and I've struggled so hard to find a relationship because I'm loud and I can command a room. And I'm like, those are more like masculine qualities historically, like on an anthropological level. Like in that sense, I think it's just taking me longer to find the right person.
Well, now
I'm
you
not...
have this new hack from Hinge. So.
Listen, but now you have a new hack.
So the tides are about to turn.
No, the next time you talk to me, I'm going to be like, wait, I found an amazing guy.
You're going to be like, I'm engaged 80. To five people.
He's 85.
Yeah, you're going to be like, he's 80. I know.
You're like, that was not the hack, honey. Like, that wasn't the point. I'm like, wait, you're so right. 80 to 90 age range, that's where it's at.
You post amazing little videos online.
Oh my God,
make
thank
me laugh,
you
laugh,
so
laugh,
much.
Laugh.
So do you.
And you have had some amazing viral moments, I would say, with a lot of your, like, what would you even say, like song parodying kind of?
Yeah.
How
like
would you
how
describe
a song
it to listeners?
Like how a song was written.
Yes. Parodying kind of like the way a song sounds,
just like
and kind
imagining,
of like deconstructing that.
Yeah. Imagining like what went through an artist's head when they like wrote a song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I feel like you have then gotten some responses from musicians.
So Matchbox 20 filmed a video of them watching it.
Oh, yeah.
And posted it. That was like the most like acknowledged, like that was the highest level of acknowledgement. Like they set up a camera in front of them and they filmed them watching my video and like laughing. And then they did a whole explainer on like, why did we sing it like that? Oh, that's so funny. Like, blah, blah, blah.
What was going through your mind when you saw them watching you?
I was like, wait, me? I was like, what? And honestly, what was going through my mind is fuck you to my followers, because a lot of times when I post those, not my followers, but my haters, because sometimes I post those and people will be like, this song was written about his dead mom. Like, how dare you?
Oh,
and
yeah,
that was
yeah.
one of the ones that was specifically getting a lot of heat, because people were commenting being like, he wrote this about his mom who died. And like, how dare you?
Which song was it?
3 a.m. It's 3 a.m. almost being
oh, yeah,
lonely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't do research before I do this. I heard the song and it was funny. Like,
that's not my vibe.
You think I am? You think I am like doing my due diligence before I post to millions of people? No. So, and then like, obviously you try not to let comments get to you, but you're like, fuck, is that offensive? Am I like a dick? And then the artist himself posted it cracking up. And I was like, I knew that this was funny. Like, come on.
Did you at least comment and say sorry about your dead mom?
No, I actually didn't. I might do that tonight. I might go way back. Like 2 years ago, I'm like, hey, oh, by the way, asterisks. I'm like, sorry. I'm so sorry. I heard this was written by your dead mom.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Speaking of kind of your videos and being in the musical arena, we have a game for you today, Louisa. So we play a game on this podcast called Heaven or Hell. And this is going to be a game where we are going to present some different scenarios for you. And you're going to decide if that scenario is heaven, hell, or if you're kind of indifferent, purgatory. And for our topic today, it's going to all be in kind of a musical universe.
Okay.
So they all have like a musical theme, basically.
Okay, love it. Shall we?
Yeah, shall we? Okay, Blair, do you want to hit us up?
Your friend that is getting married asks you to be a flower girl and do a funny viral walk down the aisle to Bruno Mars' Marry Me.
Hell on earth. First of all, Bruno Mars at a wedding, gotta stop. If I ever get married, it's strictly do not play Bruno Mars. I just can't anymore. And I'm not doing the flash mob dance. I'm not here to tap dance down the aisle. I'm here to just
But they're
like,
oh, you're funny, so we want you to do like a funny routine.
I hate that. If you think I'm funny, then have me do stand up. Like,
would you do crowd work as you're walking down the aisle? That'd be fun.
Warm up the crowd.
Yeah. Like, what brings you here? They're like, a wedding. What the fuck? Like, who do you know here? They're like, I'm on the bride's side. What?
It is just like an interesting trend, this like,
I just,
boys being funny doing the flower dance or whatever I'm calling it.
I hate it.
I have not seen this.
Really?
Yeah.
It's always like guys wearing like little fanny packs and they have like sunglasses on and they like look like they're being serious. They're like tossing out petals.
No.
I'm on manifestation TikTok, so.
So you're not getting
flower. So I'm just still learning about Lionsgate, so.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. Maybe. Blair, here's hoping I see one of those videos.
About the Lionsgate portal in a way that is crazy.
Because I saw 45 videos about it, so I'm an expert.
The way that TikTok chooses what you're going to be an expert in, and then you just are.
I know.
No, but I don't like being told to do something that's supposed to be funny when it's like not my idea or my vision sometimes, because I'm like, there's nothing worse than badly executing something.
Okay. Your friend gets you free tickets to Coldplay and you have to cheer for them to do an encore for Viva La Vida.
I think heaven, shamelessly, because I do like Coldplay.
Okay, amazing.
And I do think an encore is annoying. It's like, beg me to come back.
And also, too, they're always planned. So it's not like we got you to come out.
Encore culture is like so awkward to me. It's like
we all
know what's
encore
going on.
Encore culture, yeah.
It's
so
just
uncomfortable.
I like never thought of it, but like it's really like recently been like, okay, guys, let's give up the shtick.
It's like an ick almost.
Play all the hits. Make us really feel like we're not going to get anything more.
Well, my dream situation is that nobody begs and they just don't come back out. Like, just because it's funny, just because it would be funny. Like, I just think encore culture, once again, it's so like you're expecting. They're like, they're obviously going to beg us to come back. So we're going to leave and like stand at the edge of the stage and then like, okay, fine, we'll come back. What if nobody asked you to, though?
Do you think we should try to bring encore culture to stand-up comedy? That everyone's like, tell us that joke. We love
one more joke. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
it's like always the same one. It's like
it's the same
your
joke.
Famous joke.
It's like one you already told too.
And you're like, well, and everyone's repeating the words back to you, and you're like,
you're
yeah,
like, fine, fine, fine. Yeah, I definitely think we should bring that to stand-up culture.
All right, number three. You're walking through Central Park with your significant other, and a spontaneous group of strangers start dancing, and you realize you're being proposed to via a flash mob.
But you've already just actually talked about flash mobs, so I have an inkling on
hell
how this is going to go.
Hell. And you know why it would be hell? Because, yeah, the whole thing is hell, but it really what it would mean is that I've spent this time getting to know someone, and I have done such a bad job communicating who I am that this person thinks it's okay to propose to me that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, you would hope that if you're in a relationship where you're getting engaged, the person knows you well enough to never do something, to never, like, do something that wrong, to wrong you like that. You
Here's
know?
A pitch, though. What if it's not, like, a flash mob to a song, but to one of your TikTok videos?
Well, I do famously love attention, so.
Because it would be showing that this person is obsessed with you, and, you know, you also get a little promotion on the side because people are walking by like, what is this funny video?
It's like me doing like a Bruno Mars song, but and like he just does my video of it to propose.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I still think hell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I love attention, but like not in that way.
I kind of feel like, Blair, you could be interested in being proposed to via flash mob almost.
I mean,
it's okay. It's no
yeah,
shame.
I don't really have any hard-pressed feelings about it.
I feel like you'd
it.
Like a little pizzazz. You know, I feel like I could really see you like snapping along.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I like how you're saying there's nothing wrong with
nothing
that.
Nothing wrong with that. I love that for you. I mean, I love that for you. But for me, like
it's just so
classy.
Embarrassing.
yeah. Okay, your next one. At a family reunion, your little cousin asks you to help her teach your entire family the apple dance.
Now, first of all, can you do it?
I can do it.
Show us.
It's not heaven. Do you really want to see? I'm holding my mic. Do you guys remember?
With the mic?
What am I going to do?
Do it with one hand.
You do this thing, and then it's like,
I can do it with you.
One, two, three, four, one, two.
Got it.
This is inundated our culture.
That was really good.
Thank you so much.
I'm unfortunately making everyone dance with the apple dance right now, but I always like to be about 1 month behind on anything.
I think that's
so.
It's a good caliber to work at. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Number five. On your birthday, your friends have a mariachi band and the entire restaurant serenade you by singing happy birthday.
I like love a mariachi band. Heaven.
Okay.
It's like my birthday, you know? I don't know why that feels different from proposal, but it feels like birthday is more like you can be more out of pocket, more unhinged on a birthday.
Sure. A little funny. Okay. And you get a birthday every year and you would like.
And you get a birthday every year. Right. You'd sell one. Yes, exactly. So heaven. Love it.
Okay. Amazing. Easy peasy. Okay. Your last one. You upload a video of your dog howling to the tune of a popular song. The video goes viral and your dog becomes way more famous than you.
Dude, this is a fear of mine. I'm like, keep this girl out away from the camera because she is going to get famous. Honestly, heaven, because I would make money off of her and exploit her in that sense.
Yeah,
right. So you'd be like a Kris Jenner to a dog.
Oh, 100%. I would go full momager. You know, it's like I can't decide because – she could help me then rise to fame. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And unexpected.
I guess I just think of like if she becomes like so famous, she's like, I hate to be like this. Who is that cat that was like Stinky Cat? Or like not Stinky Cat, but like
Grumpy Cat.
Grumpy Cat.
Do you know what I'm saying? So big. It's like we don't know who Grumpy Cat's owner was.
Who
we
the
just
hell
know
was
Grumpy
Cat's
Cat?
Mother? Yeah.
And I think Grumpy Cat passed away.
What if you kind of weasel your way in and become like a comedy team?
You're right. I start like sneaking my way into the videos one by one. Like I do like I start off with like one line in the video and then it's like next thing we know we're a duo and we're traveling a traveling circus. That I'd be fine with.
Okay.
How do you have a dog in New York City? Like, how does that work? Are they so dirty all the time? That was my fear.
No, so my dog is so tiny and she like doesn't really have fur. She's like low-key bald. Like she just has really short fur and she doesn't like to go outside. So she's like kind of an indoor cat.
Oh, love that.
She's kind of a cat. She's 6 pounds. We go outside and she just like pees and she's like, can we go back?
Get out of here.
And I'm like, yes, girl. She sleeps till 11. I've hacked the system somehow. Yeah.
Well, we are hacking systems today.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So, Louise, we've come to the portion of the podcast where you have a story where it's hard to tell if you were in the right or the wrong that Blair and I are going to be deciding, because we're etiquette experts, if you exhibited good or bad behavior. So whenever you're ready, launch on in.
Okay. So my first year in New York, 2016, I moved to New York. I had no real job. I knew I wanted to do comedy in some way, and I had to like – I was PAing, and then I also had to make other money on the side. So I got a job at SoulCycle. And this was like the fucking 2016 SoulCycle. It was like...
like the hype.
There needs to be like a cult documentary about it. And I never drank the Kool-Aid. I was never... I mean, I would take the classes because I got them for free.
Were you kind of reception, or where were you working in the SoulCycle?
Yeah, I was at the front. So I was like cleaning shoes and like... checking people into their bikes and being like, enjoy your class. Oh, here's a water. Like, just so lame. Not a great job, but it was fun for the time being. And there was, but it was very culty, very like, oh my God, like soul people are the best people. And like, I never bought into that. And it was really like a whole culture around it. And there was this one instructor who had a truly frightening cult following. Like, they would book his classes maybe weeks in advance, and they would purposely book the front row. The front row would fill up so that all of his disciples, like his best people, were in the front bikes. And if you, it was like a status thing. Like, if you were in the front row, you were the most fit. You were one of his favorites. You were the richest. Some, like, it just was like a status thing. Like, everybody who's in the front, oh, you're in his front row. Like, you're like, she's always in his front row. Yeah, she always gets his front row. Da 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 da. Whatever. It was a whole thing.
And was this guy very charismatic and?
Yeah, and very hot and
famous. That'll do it.
He's like a model now. Like, he's.
Do I know who this instructor is? Actually, is he kind of famous
like,
now?
Yeah, I can just like tell you guys. It was Akin. His class was different from every other class, too. Like, he was way more intense. It was way harder. If you were in the front row, like, if you were like, not on beat, he'd be like, sit down, like, in the back. Like, he would tell you to sit down and be like, just don't do it till you're ready. And you'd be like, fuck, okay. So this one time, this woman was in the front row. She was booked for the front row, and I went into the system, and I just, like, fucked something up. And like accidentally moved her out of the first row. And she called the studio and was like, and by the way, there's a wait list for the front row. So if somebody gets moved out of it, someone's going in to take that spot. So I accidentally moved her out without really realizing it, or like I kind of realized it. And it was like too late to fix it because someone already had slid into the seat. And I was like, whatever, it's just a spin class. Who cares?
Yeah.
This woman calls and freaking out. She's like threatening legal action. She's like, somebody moved. She's like, somebody. Yeah, right. She's like, somebody moved me out of the front row and I will get my lawyers involved. And
sure,
because who wouldn't?
Yeah.
And my boss is.
It's hacking.
I mean, listen. So first it happened and they were like, does anyone know who did this? And I was like, no, I have no idea. Knowing it was me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have no idea. This is crazy. What?
Yeah.
And then I like just continued about my life thinking like, it's a bike. bro. Like, it's one class. Nobody cares. It escalated so fast and I had already lied. So like, it was too late for me to go back and be like, well, so actually it was, now that the law is getting involved, it actually was me. So I just like doubled the fuck down and I just was like, it wasn't me. I have no idea what happened. This woman's threatening legal action. And like, there were ways they could like go into the computer and see like which user, like I wasn't sure what exactly the managers had access to, but I just was like, I'm doubling down. I didn't do it. Didn't do it. And people, the vibe was so, people were like, someone's getting fired. Like someone's, this is so bad. They're threatening legal action. Like over a bike, by the way, in the front row. Can we just remember what we're talking about here?
For one and single class.
And I just like fucking doubled down. I was like, there's no way am I going to now be like, you know what? Pull my man into the side and be like, actually, it was me. And I didn't realize it was like this big of a deal till now. So I just like fully lied. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if anyone else took the fall. I think the managers then like took the fall for it. And I just was like, I cannot be involved in this. And that was actually, to this day, probably the most stressed out I've ever been at a job. And it was SoulCycle. I was literally like, this is not good.
What is the benefit of sitting on the front row? Are they all hoping that he will like spot this woman and be like, hey, you, me, drinks later? Like,
they know him all. They all know him. They're all friends with him because they follow him around. They do his all of his classes. And they, it's like a status symbol. It was like this weird thing that I clearly like, I couldn't understand because I didn't understand why it was such a big deal. So your question, I had the same questions. I was like, I don't get it. Like, can she sit in this? Sorry, God forbid she's in the second row. Like,
yeah, it's not like you're having a conversation with him.
No, but it was so intense. And they were really mean. They would, if we didn't remember their shoe size, they would yell at us, these specific riders. So like whenever there was an acting class, it was like, okay, everyone. Also like, by the way, we're a bunch of like actors and comedians just trying to make a little money. Like, come on. It's not that serious. Like the front desk people, we're not strategists. Like I'm not a fucking, like this is incorporate. But so we were expected to like bend over backwards for these people because they really were like.
Because they were the disciples.
I mean, they really were though. Like Akin was bringing so much money into SoulCycle, the company, that like it was kind of a silent, not written. It was just kind of like a spoken thing of like, we do whatever we need to do to make these customers happy. It escalated to layers and layers up and I just like continued to lie and I just lied. Till today is the first time I've ever talked about
Wow. Wow. That's really brave of you to share your story. And you're now, you said you now are the CEO of SoulCycle. You were able
and
to
I am
move
now
the
CEO
the
and founder.
Whoa.
Sort of. Okay. Yeah.
So this lie kind of got you to where you are today.
I like lose my position. Now I lose everything after this podcast.
We're one of those podcasts that have CEOs on and we're like, how did you get where you are today? And you're like, I have a confession. How long did you end up working at SoulCycle? And how long, like, when did this incident happen in your journey at SoulCycle? Like, how long had you been there? And then how long did you stay after?
I was well into my journey. This was probably a year of working there. And I had become a key holder, which meant, like, I was holding a key to the building. I was, like, a trusted leader. I was not a manager, but I was not just any old bitch at the front desk.
So year in this happened, and then how long did you stay after?
Probably like 6 more months.
And do you know if anyone did get fired from this or just people took the blame?
It ended up blowing over and it was fine, but at the time it was like, all right, there's this crazy woman on the phone and she wants to know like who did this and she's really upset. And like my managers were my friends too.
Aside from this little incident, how many mistakes would you say you were making regularly at SoulCycle?
Not like really any. I mean,
okay,
because it's the kind of thing where it's a workout class. Like, okay, it's a mistake. It's like, okay.
What was going on this particular day where you made a mistake?
I think I was like really stressed about this class. Like the air, the feeling in the air would change. We'd have like Sydney, this instructor would come in and she'd be like, yay, like so fun, Sydney's class. We'd be like, welcome to SoulCycle. Oh, do you want shoes and water? Blah, blah, blah. Sydney's class would end and it would be like, it was like, we are not fucking around right now. And it was like, they're all coming and they want you to know their shoe sizes and they want you to know, do they want water or not? Like, you're supposed to remember all this stuff. And I just was like probably stressed. I was probably like thinking about some other shit that I had to get done. And I don't know. I don't know what happened. My finger slipped and I moved her bike and then it was too late. And I was like, well, nobody.
And you couldn't have just swapped it back?
No, because something happened. Like, I don't remember the exact details, but it was like I didn't realize until it was too late. And then I was like, oh, I did that.
Well, aside from the legal action, were you threatened in any other ways, like with past class? Like, because it sounds like the clientele was coming in. They were very, you know, expecting like, a lot.
Did they physically threaten you when you didn't remember?
Yeah, was there any other physical threats?
There were no other physical threats. And there were no other... No, it was mainly just like they were so rude to us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then were you fearful? Like,
I was fearful because it was my first year in New York. I had no money. Like, if I lost my job there, not that it was able to pay my rent at all. I was doing that and I was PAing and I was doing a ton of like freelance, whatever. I was trying to make ends meet, but I was like, this is my one stable job. Like, this is my one paycheck that I can rely on coming in. So even though it was like $3 a week, I needed that $3.
Yeah. So that's a low. That's steep. Low that they only paid you $3 a week.
No, but it was like really shitty pay. It was like something ridiculous.
Yeah. No, totally.
I still really needed it. And I was like new to the workforce. This was my first. I was like in, you know, like, I don't know. Are either of you from like the suburbs or something? Like,
yeah, I'm from Virginia.
Yeah. So it's like you moved to New York City and you're like, oh my God, I'm in New York City. I have like a job. I have a key to this building. Like,
you get diarrhea.
Thinking about it now, I'm like, who gives a shit? I would have like flipped them off and left. Like, just kidding. I still wouldn't do that now.
I think that the layer is, I mean, yes, it sounds like I was the same way when I first moved to New York, excited but scared. But like, I'm just wondering because the clientele was, it sounds like they were ripped and working their asses off all the time, that if you just like slightly fuck up, they could like choke you out, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're so built. The they have so many muscles from the bike.
Physically, exactly. Yes.
And they have bike muscles.
Yes. Like they were in shape, like more than anyone.
They could crush your skull with their thighs.
Physically, yes. And then also they were really rich because these are people who are spending money to go to SoulCycle 7 times a week, 8 times a week. To a lot of them would take Atkins class 3 times a day. Like,
no,
they had a lot of, yeah, they had a lot of money.
How can you do that physically? 3 SoulCycle classes a day? I guess I've never taken a SoulCycle class.
They were crazy. I did 2 in a day once because it was free and somebody was like, I'm doing a double. You want to do a double with me? I was like, yeah. I like actually have never, I almost died. Like, I was like, this is not happening ever again. So don't recommend it. But yeah, they're also just like rich. And this was in like the era of SoulCycle where that was like the place to be. Like, if you're a rich, powerful person that wants to be seen, wants to see and be seen and like get in shape in a way that's like trendy, you were there and you were at Atkins class. And like, that company was huge back then.
Is one of the reasons you took this job was so you could be seen?
No, it was so that I could work out for free.
Okay.
And I
you
had
didn't think any of these people could get you ahead in the industry.
No, because I didn't know that that was how it was till I started working there. And then I was like, wait a minute, Mr. Disney?
Yeah.
Atkin is a very attractive gentleman.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah. Now, were you maybe trying to show that, hey, I have some power, so I can fuck up with anyone. Maybe on some level you were like, I'm into this guy and I want to be in his class front row.
Like, I was power tripping almost.
Yeah. Maybe it was something you were trying to sabotage one woman so you could rise up in the ranks of bike riding.
I like moved her out of the second out of the front row and put myself in. And they're like, who did this? I'm like, I have no idea. That is so
but
weird.
But you can't have an empty seat in Atkins class.
That's another thing. If there was an empty seat in the front row, we would get yelled at because it's like, why was this not filled? Whereas like, okay. And then like the instructor, like he would come and be like, sorry, why was nobody in my, it was like our fault, you know, it was just like,
no one wanted to work out at this time.
Every other instructor though, it was just like, yeah, whatever. I'm just happy to have people in my class. I'm like happy to be alive. Like, this was just a whole nother level. It was crazy. Whoa. Man. I haven't even thought about it since till like yesterday.
I can see you shaking a little.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Ugh. Yeah. I'm like, it's no big deal. Ruined my life.
It is a dramatic story, and it it takes me back 8 years when I moved to New York. And, you know, that same fear. I worked at The Gap in the financial district.
Okay.
And you want to talk about...
High.
The stakes were high. And
you wouldn't think, but they probably were. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you have to make sure the entire sweater table is folded correctly. And you have one person come in and look for their size, and it's always on the bottom. And then they're like, nope, I don't like it. And then they throw it away. Then you have to do that folding. So much handwork, you know?
I know.
So, and that's stressful because you want to get out on time. There's so many factors. So many
factors. You want to do a good job.
Exactly.
You want to, you know,
and
be impressive.
It sounds like you got caught up in the glamorous world of soul cycling. You saw the star. You had stars in your eyes. You're like, I've made it. If I don't take off in comedy, soul cycling. You know?
Yeah. If I don't sabotage this woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, to make it in such a cutthroat game of soul cycling, you do have to kind of, you know, fuck around with the seat schedule, you know?
Yeah, and I guess.
They're probably doing that in Hollywood. You know, someone made the seat schedule for the Oscars. And
the
then they're like.
Front row of Hollywood? Come on.
Yeah, the front row. Yeah, it's happening on the streets here every day. Yeah.
I was preparing to someday make the seating arrangement for the Oscars, ultimately.
Yeah.
You were protecting yourself because also, too, your life was in danger. There's a lot of people, a lot of strong people there.
A lot of ripped people.
And you even said yourself, you took two classes and got tired. So you couldn't have protected yourself, you know?
No, definitely not. I'm so glad you were taking such good notes.
I'm going to say good behavior, you know?
Whoa, okay.
It was about protecting you and your heart.
That's good. Totally. That was a good life. One.
Totally.
Yep.
I think I'm going to agree with this one today. I think really what I learned kind of being in the workforce in New York City and even any city, maybe just having a job, is that mistakes happen. I think this, a lot of times mistakes that are small do blow over. And I think when you are low on the totem pole, it's good just to skirt around. If the mistake is huge, yes, own up to it, I guess, and like try to. But if there's nothing that can be done, you just say, let's just hope no one found out. And a lot of times, people are understaffed and they don't. So, Louise, you have officially been deemed
good behavior.
Okay, so, Louisa, we have an amazing reward for you today. We know it can be a little scary to come up with an acceptance speech on the fly.
Okay.
So, we've written one for you today that I'm going to put in the chat.
Okay, before I read this, I want to say, I think this was literally therapeutic for me because I forgot about that story. Dug it up yesterday when you guys asked me to come up with a story.
Yeah.
Told it today and was told that it was okay.
Yeah.
And there's something
good.
So beautiful about that.
Oh my God. I'm so glad.
Okay. You see how I accept this award? Very demure, very sweet. I'll keep the speech short, very respectable, very mindful of time. I'm not thanking my agents, my managers. No, because that's boring and I'm demure.
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful.
I just got onto Mirror TikTok yesterday. I was so confused what was happening. And then I did a deep dive so I could understand what's going on in culture right now. I think it'll blow over by tomorrow, but I had to figure this out.
Which is stressful because I work in social media and everyone's being like, how can we capitalize on this? And I'm like, capitalize on what? And they like send me the video. I'm like, what is like happening? Right
I don't understand, but go off. Okay, well, Louisa, before we wrap up, can you tell listeners where they can follow, find you, if you have any upcoming shows or other projects to plug?
Yeah, follow me on Instagram at Louisa Lang. My TikTok is at Louisa Lang is a joke. I'm going to be in Chicago doing a weekend of shows in September, like 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, I'll be there. So if any Chicago listeners... that would be great. And then most of my shows I post on Instagram. So just keep up with me there.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye.
Do you think that was good?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.